Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, coming to you live this week from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, and the Democratic National Convention. It is a beautiful city, clean and tall on the high plains. Just behind it, on the western horizon, the Rocky Mountains rise taller still. Behind me right now, in the Pepsi Center Arena in downtown Denver, is the cavernous hall where the Democrats will gather this week to formally nominate Barack Obama as their candidate for a presidential election now just 10 weeks away. It is going to be an historic week, and we'll be here with you for all of it. This hour, On Point, live from Denver, we're raising the curtain on the Democratic National Convention. You can join the conversation. What do you want to see and hear from the Democrats this week in Denver? What do you need to hear from Hillary, Bill, Joe Biden, Barack Obama? And joining me now at our broadcast booth in Denver's Pepsi Center, where I've got the big hall and the big stage right over my shoulder, is Liz Halloran, who's been out on the campaign trail for U.S. News and World Report. Liz, great to have you here.
Good morning.
And with us also in Denver is Chuck Todd, political director for NBC News. Chuck, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Tom. Sorry I'm not there, but, you know.
Hey, the security is thick, and there are many demands in Denver this week. Even by phone from the wilds of Denver, we're very happy to have you. People staying all over this city, lots and lots of delegates in town. With our public radio mission, we're, I think, in a little Howard Johnson's halfway between here and Wyoming. But it's beautiful, and that's the way public radio ought to be. The hall here behind us, all gussied up. We've got the, right over my shoulder, the seats for Minnesota delegates, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Maine. Big speeches coming tonight and every night this week. Of course, Michelle Obama on tonight. Let's listen back to a tiny little bit of a famous moment from the last time the Democrats gathered 4 years ago. This is John Kerry opening his acceptance speech at the 2004 Democratic National Convention.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
And that's about as far as it got. Chuck Todd, what a difference 4 years can make. We saw what happened in that election. How do you size up the state of this race as we open this week with everything we're going to see and learn? Chuck, as the race stands today, how do you see it? How do you describe it?
Well, I'll tell you, look, it's obviously a lot closer than the environment stipulates that it should be. We should be looking at a Democratic, not landslide's a little too much that I would say there, but pretty close. I mean, it should be a significant Democratic lead, and it's not. Part of it is you have a very strong Republican nominee, a guy who is the most electable Republican that the party could have nominated. But you also have Barack Obama, a newcomer, trying to break a glass ceiling for African Americans, trying to unify his party, and still trying to define who he is. So, look, he's got three things he's got to do this convention, and he's got 4 days to do it, and I don't think he can do all three things. Number one, he's got to unify this party. And clearly there are plenty of Clinton people in this town that aren't ready to unify. Hillary Clinton may be ready, Bill Clinton may be ready, but some of her more activist supporters are not ready. The second thing he's got to do is he's got to fill in some gaps on his resume. But the third thing, it's great that you opened with a John Kerry clip, because this is something I think that we're going to see a difference this time in what we saw 4 years ago, is that the Democrats got to use their 4 days of national television to take a 2x4 to John McCain. John Kerry almost ignored George W. Bush in his convention, and when Bush had his convention, he made his convention all about John Kerry, not about George Bush. And it really was a failure and a waste of 4 days of national television attention. When you look back at what John Kerry did, I mean, they're really, you played a memorable clip, and yet I forgot about it until you played it, and I remember, oh, yeah, that line went over really flat. So this is a how they go after McCain, define Obama, unify the party. Those are the three things he's got to do. It's a big agenda for 4 days.
Liz Halloran, you know, it's funny. There's been a lot of talk in recent years about how conventions are not meaningful anymore. Ever since they stopped actually counting the delegates and putting the thing together on the convention floor, people said this is just showbiz. But somehow here in Denver, in all of my conversations with delegates over the last couple of days, in all of my conversations with politicians, everybody's saying this one really matters for the Democrats and for Barack Obama. There's a lot on the line in this week.
It really does. And Chuck's comments pointed to a number of issues that Senator Obama has to address this week. But first of all, the Clintons have to leave the stage for him. It's been a very difficult week for Barack Obama to start his process here. On the eve of the convention, you have Senator Clinton talking about releasing her delegates, and so that dominated the news cycle through this morning. I saw Senator Obama's people on TV this morning, and that's what they're talking about. Will these delegates vote for Senator Obama? You've got Hillary Clinton speaking on Tuesday, a much-anticipated speech, and then you've got President Clinton on Wednesday, which I think many people are intensely interested in what the former president is going to say. He has not embraced Senator Obama's candidacy with any enthusiasm, and there are some folks have joked they're going to have to get the hook to get him off the stage. There's really some interesting discussions about what the president will do and what he needs to do. He's angered many in the party with some of the comments he made during the primary system, and for his legacy, they think he has to give a unifying speech and then get out there and do some campaigning for Senator Obama for his own legacy.
Chuck Todd, what about the very big Hillary Clinton contingent? And you could see them coming into Denver in the airport with their hats on, Hillary bumper stickers still plastered right across the tops of their heads in some cases. Do you sense them getting ready to swing in behind Barack Obama? And what was it in the smoke-filled room negotiation that led Obama's team to give so much floor time, air time, camera time to Bill and Hillary Clinton this week?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we forget is that while this is Barack Obama's party, as far as rank-and-file Democrats are concerned, it is not yet his he doesn't have total control of this party yet among the insiders. And I would say a third of this convention is controlled by Clinton loyalists. And, you know, they were in charge of this party even when John Kerry was a nominee, even when Al Gore was a nominee. They were basically in charge of this party for the last 16 years. Barack Obama is in charge now, but that doesn't mean that there still aren't some big-time activists that are here in Denver that are publicly sort of realizing for the first time, because they probably found out they don't have the credentials that they used to have at conventions, they don't have as good of a hotel room as they used to have, who are sort of grumbling about this whole thing. They're grumpy. They feel like Obama hasn't paid them enough attention. So I think what I'm curious to see is when you look at the evidence of Clinton backers around the country uniting around Obama a lot quicker than these Clinton activists in Denver. And this is where Obama's got a real dilemma on his hands, because the media here is going to run into a lot of these Clinton folks who are going to be talking about how they're not ready to get behind Obama.
Not just run into them, but seek them out. I saw the cameras descend on them at the airport here in Denver. That's right.
Right. But yet, how real is it really a part of this story?
Liz, what about it? I mean, when you look at delegates here, and there is a lot of enthusiasm about Barack Obama and the opportunity this year. At the same time, you can see an edge of apprehension in people's eyes. There may be grumpiness among some Clinton supporters, but surely in this week they will be looking for that moment, that reason, that theater that helps them turn the corner and get on board, or not?
Well, they will be looking for it. Michelle Obama speaks tonight, and she's expected to try to start laying out her husband's biography and their biography as a family and define themselves in that way. But to get back to these Clinton delegates, as you know, Tom, this morning there was a new McCain ad featuring a Clinton delegate who says she's now going to support McCain. So that's a very real very real issue here. Women are a very, very important demographic, and he's got some work to do on that front.
Let's talk about Barack Obama looking to take the initiative with his announcement of a vice presidential pick. It was Saturday in Springfield, Illinois, on the same steps of the old state capitol there, where he announced his candidacy for the presidency. Barack Obama, he announced there his pick for vice president, of course, Senator Joe Biden. For decades, Obama said, Biden has brought change to Washington, but Washington hasn't changed him.
He's an expert on foreign policy whose heart and values are firmly rooted in the middle class. He's stared down dictators and spoken out for American cops and firefighters. He is uniquely suited to be my partner as we work to put our country back on track.
Barack Obama announcing Joe Biden, who then jogged out on the stage in Springfield, Illinois on Saturday. Joe Biden speaking right to the moment as well about why he believed Obama is the one for the White House.
These times call for a total change in Washington's worldview. These times require more than a good soldier. They require a wise leader. A leader. A leader who can deliver. A leader who can deliver the change we need.
Chuck Todd, what do you think of Biden as his pick? A big decision there. The news out on Saturday after being very tightly held. Is it working for him? Will it work for him?
Well, I think, look, I'm a believer that, bluntly, a vice presidential pick matters 3 days. The first day, debate day, and election day. As far as the first day, I think the Obama people feel very good about it. I think they pulled off a very good first day. Biden was the best pick for what he could do, for who he was looking for. And we can argue about whether Hillary Clinton might have helped, and I think she would have provided an initial bump. The question is what kind of sustained surrogate would she be? That's a big question. But when you look at what Obama needed, you know, yes, there was this idea that with some voters he needed to bring on somebody with a little more experience, but he also needed to basically hire himself a trial lawyer. And that's what he did. He needed to hire himself somebody who could do two things. One, make the case for Barack Obama that this guy is an American story. Not an American. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion, but that this guy is an American-made story. And Joe Biden is just very eloquent and can do something like that. But the second thing he needed to hire was a prosecutor to make the case against John McCain. And Biden can come across as a credible critic of McCain because he starts everything off with, you know, I've known John McCain for, you know, 29 years, 30 years. Right. And I can tell you, I don't know what happened to this McCain. He can do all of these back and forth. And it's a one way taking advantage of one of the negatives, I think, of Joe Biden for Obama, which is the fact that he's been in the United States Senate longer than he has been.
Chuck Todd, hold the thought. We'll be right back from the Mile High City in Denver at the Democratic National Convention. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from Denver and the Democratic National Convention, where we are raising the curtain on a historic week in the making here in the offing. Sound there from yesterday, anti-war protesters in Denver. They were preparing for 25,000. Only about 1,000 showed up. Gas is expensive, so is airfare, and Denver's a long way from a whole lot of places. But it is buzzing this week with politics, and we are right in the middle of it. Welcome you into it as well. I'm in the Pepsi Center, where everything will be kicking off this evening with a big week of speeches and a whole lot on the line for the Democrats. I've been joined in Denver by Chuck Todd, political director for NBC News. With me here in the Pepsi Center is Liz Halloran. She covers national politics for U.S. News and World Report. And joining us as well in the Pepsi Center right now is Roger Simon, chief political columnist for Politico. Roger, great to have you with us here.
Thank you. Really nice to be here.
So what do you make of Denver so far, Roger?
I like Denver so far. I've mostly seen it in security lines. But outside the security lines, there's a terrific city with very friendly people who are always asking if they can help you.
Except at the gate to the convention center, whereas with all convention centers, you've got guys with every kind of arms and a lot of steely-eyed Secret Service this week. I want to go at this Biden pick with you, Liz, and Roger. Roger, first you. What do you make of the Joe Biden pick, the why, and the what it does for Barack Obama?
I think it's a good pick. It surprised me. He was not on my short list. I can't imagine that Barack Obama didn't consult me about my short list. He wasn't on my short list because I thought Barack Obama would do exactly what he did in the primary campaigns, which was play the mathematics game. What gets you the numbers? What got him the numbers for the nomination? Now, what gets me the numbers for the election to 270 in the Electoral College? Joe Biden really doesn't help directly with that. I thought he would go with a Tim Kaine for Virginia, 13 electoral votes. Evan Bayh in Indiana, 10 electoral votes, the possibility of turning a red state to a blue state. Well, in the end, Barack Obama didn't go that way. He went for a guy he was comfortable with. He went for a guy with strong foreign policy credentials. And I think after all, let's be honest, after this convention and this speech, there is only one thing the vice president has to do, and that is debate the other guy. And then, really, you're not going to hear from him again.
Except, I assume, attack day in and day out.
Yeah, but even that attack is diminished by how little attention we actually pay to that. To the vice president. I don't know what the traveling press corps is going to be for the vice president in these tough economic times. I'm guessing there are going to be five or six people on the plane full time. That doesn't get you a lot of attention. But, you know, Joe Biden is likely to do very well in his debate against whoever the Republican nominee is for vice president. If it's a Mitt Romney, I think that's a good matchup. If it's a Tim Pawlenty, I think, again, that's a good matchup. And I think that was very much on Obama's mind.
Chuck Todd, I know we've only got you for a couple more minutes here in Denver. We've talked about the Clintons a bit. There will be much more of that this week. We've talked about Joe Biden a bit. Let's look at Barack Obama himself, how he comes into this, both in terms of how well Americans know him, his platform, the kind of image that he's wrapped in as he steps up to the convention. What does Obama himself need to accomplish this week, Chuck?
Well, he needs to connect better with that average working class Democrat, make it feel like he does the feel your pain thing. By the way, for all those long security lines, Roger Simon has provided a very good anecdote to those long lines, which is an incredible piece about how Obama got here and how the Clinton thing fell apart. It is a tremendous piece that's in Politico today, so I can't recommend it highly enough.
24 pages, and you will learn it all there. Go to the mountaintop with Roger.
Just suck up to Roger. Because I hate sucking up to Roger. He knows.
You're very kind, Chuck.
As
thank
far
you.
As Obama, you know, I think he's got a... Let me just one more big challenge he's got, and that is during that acceptance speech, he's got to make it so that it doesn't come across like a rock concert. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that the McCain campaign has accomplished is that they have made Obama's big events, which are impressive and amazing organizing tools, somehow a negative. Now, part of that may be we in the cynical press corps have bought into the storyline, and maybe that's our fault. But the voters that he's got left to reach are not the ones that are ready to be inspired. They're the ones that are wondering who's going to put a little more money back in their pocket. So I think he's got a real challenge in his acceptance speech, both accessible, if that's the right term. Accessible to this average swing voter who feels like, you know what, that guy does understand my problem. Maybe I don't relate to him. I'm not going to pretend I relate to somebody that grew up biracial and went through the different things that he had to go through. But boy, that guy seems to relate to my problem. You know, maybe that's what Joe Biden helps him do. I don't know the exact way of saying, you know, what that gut check is. I mean, that's what focus group people are for. But he's got to figure out how to make his speech accessible to the average swing voter. Because he's going to get 50 or 60. I mean, I think what the Obama people have to realize, and I think sometimes we in the media have to realize, more people are going to tune into Barack Obama than ever have before. And then all of a sudden, a month later, they're going to tune in for him even more so at the first debate. But he may get 30, 40, 50 million people who hear him speak for the very, and 20 million of them will be hearing him for the very first time. That's something they have to realize.
A big, big night for Barack Obama on Thursday. Chuck Todd, political director for NBC News, with us in Denver, just a little bit away in the wilds of Denver. Chuck, thanks very much for joining us. Roger Simon with Politico and Liz Halloran with U.S. News and World Report with me here in the Pepsi Center. And, Roger, it's interesting to see the Invesco Stadium. A lot of people may not know the layout of Denver, but you can almost see how it occurred to the Obama advance team that he ought to give a speech there. You walk in, we're just here on the edge of the downtown skyscrapers. Right. You've got very nice Pepsi Center, beautiful, pretty new arena, and just across, several hundred meters or half a mile of parkland, there's Invesco Stadium right there. You can't miss it when you walk in.
I think they're going to do a kick, punt, and pass the contest before before he gives his speech. It's very interesting, the choice of Invesco Field and what Chuck said. I'm sorry he's off the line because I would want to suck up to him in return. But, that venue was selected, this enormous outdoor venue.
Looks a bit like a poor man's bird nest from the Beijing
right,
Olympics.
Exactly.
It's got this sort of sweeping Arrow-Saarinen lines.
Exactly. But, you know, it was selected at a time when Obama was not sensitive about the celebrity status stuff. It was selected at a time before John McCain, I think very effectively.
It was still all upside, the stadium appeal.
Mm-hmm. And so now I think what Obama has to do, and I think John McCain has been effective in beating on this, he's just a celebrity image, something Hillary Clinton was not successful in doing. But I think John McCain has been successful at it. So now I think the site, to some extent, works against the speech. And I think Chuck said that Barack Obama has to be accessible in this speech. I also think he has to show a little more gravitas in this speech. He's really good at inspiration. He's showing us inspiration for 18 months now. I think he's got to do something other than that. You know, it's funny. His speech 4 years ago, everybody thinks they saw it. In fact, the commercial networks did not cover it. They didn't cover it live.
Everybody saw the clips.
Yeah,
it certainly made his name.
It was covered only by cable. It'll be covered by the commercial networks this time.
Yes.
But I remember him in Iowa after giving one of his 100th or 200th speeches, and somebody, it was a press conference, and somebody said, you know, that speech really wasn't up to some of your other speeches. And Obama just looked at him and said, you know, I can't make people cry every night. I really can't do that. And there's going to be a lot of attention on this speech. Mm. I don't think he can out-emotion himself from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can out-inspiration himself. I think he's got to show the American people the goods, why he really can get this job done.
Liz Halloran, you've been out on the road a lot in this year with lots of candidates and plenty with Barack Obama. Do you see him evolving as we here we are, late August, just 4 years? And it is amazing to think that just 4 years ago, he was not even in the U.S. Senate. He was a candidate on the floor of that Democratic convention in Boston, not yet elected. Now here he is, about to be nominated as the Democrats' candidate formally. Have you seen an evolution in the way he's presenting over these months?
Well, it's interesting. Both Roger and Chuck alluded to this danger in the big stadium speech, the danger in being seen as too messianic almost, that McCain has turned this into a...
Rush Limbaugh calls him the Messiah.
Yeah, exactly.
And not in admiration.
And I will have to say that there's a great difference between Barack Obama in a large venue and on the stump. He can be quite flat and difficult for folks to relate to, so he does have some work to do on that. And going back to Biden a little bit, what he brings, even though he's so yesterday already, but he is white, elder statesman.
Mm-hmm.
He has this long relationship with McCain, and as Senator Obama emphasized, you know, Irish Catholic, working class, Scranton, Ohio, Irish Catholic.
So that's a long time ago.
You know, he may be with the new technology and YouTube and the internet and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He may play a little bit more of a role in sound bites and in driving a message that perhaps in past presidential years, messages that may not have been heard by as wide an audience.
Let's listen to Barack Obama. He is visiting frontline states this week, swing states that the Democrats hope to take, that they, in many cases, have not taken for a long time. Yesterday, he was at a barbecue at the Rod and Gun Park in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He made a direct appeal to white working-class voters, taking another jab at John McCain and his millions.
You just don't get what's going on with people's everyday lives. The folks who are making $20,000 a year, or $40,000 a year, or $60,000 a year, that are trying to get their kid into college, or trying to pay their health care premiums at the end of every month. That's who I'm fighting for.
Roger, how about the attack plan for this week? The consensus seems to be 4 years ago, way too little. John Kerry specifically asking, hold off on going after George Bush. What
about
this time out? What can we anticipate?
Yeah, I expect him to, first of all, I expect Senator Obama, first of all, to vigorously attack George W. Bush as the main villain of this convention, because it's going to get universal agreement. And secondly, to portray John McCain as George W. Bush's third term and make that linkage time and time again. It was a huge mistake for John Kerry 4 years ago, not only to concentrate on the wrong war, he was concentrating on the Vietnam War instead of the Iraq War, but he also, through their polling and a real, I think, mistake of what the American mood was, decided not to attack. They decided people didn't like the attack. And I remember Terry McAuliffe, who was then chairman of the party, you know, all the speeches people are going to hear at the convention this whole week get vetted by the nominee. I mean, Bill Clinton's speech, Hillary Clinton's speech, everybody's speech gets approved by the nominee staff. So it's not like people get to say just what they feel. And Terry McAuliffe, the chairman of the party, had a rip-roaring speech tearing apart George W. Bush 4 years ago. And the Kerry people said, you can't give that speech. We're not going to do attacks. And I remember seeing Terry McAuliffe right before he was going to go on stage, and he was in just in almost in tears of frustration. He said, we're going to blow this thing. We need to attack George Bush if we're going to win this thing. And he was absolutely right.
Liz, do you hear the Democrats ready to go on that attack this time?
Absolutely, and the Republicans are expecting it. I was speaking to a Republican strategist last week, and he said Bush is going to be a piñata at the Democratic convention, as well he should be. When McCain comes to his convention next week, he said he's got to put Obama in a headlock and not allow this Bush, third term of Bush, to be the defining message that comes out of this convention.
We're at the Pepsi Center in Denver, a mile high, and you can hear the banging and everything else going on here in preparation for what's going to be filling up tonight. Right behind us, over my shoulder, the cavernous hall of the Pepsi Center, the great big stage, all lit up. We've got CNN on one side behind us and CBS, the big skyboxes here, looking over the scene of what will be a historic week here in Denver. Certainly, John McCain wasted no time in coming after Barack Obama and his choice of Joe Biden, and he used, in a television ad out Saturday, the McCain campaign used Joe Biden's own words against Obama.
What does Barack Obama's running mate say about Barack Obama?
You were asked, is he ready? You said, I think he can be ready, but right now I don't believe he is. The presidency is not something that lends itself to on-the-job training.
I think that I stand by the statement.
And what does he say about John McCain?
I would be honored to run with or against John McCain because I think the country would be better off.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Roger, there's a whole lot more of that. What does Biden do here? Does he pivot? Does he say, yes, I knew John McCain, I have respected John McCain, but now he's in the tank, in the Bush tank?
Yeah, but, you know, the trouble on that score, and we've seen it in McCain's statement on Biden yesterday, which was very complimentary on Biden. These two guys really like each other. McCain and Biden are peas in a pod. They really love being in the Senate. They've served a long time. They've sponsored stuff together, even when opposed on certain matters. They've never disliked each other. And the fact is they probably have more similarities than they do differences. You know, in terms of using Biden's words against Obama, you know, if McCain picks Mitt Romney, he's going to have the same problem. Mitt Romney in those debates said an awful lot of mean stuff about John McCain. Now, maybe that's one reason McCain might want to pick Pawlenty instead of Romney. But I don't think the American people, first of all, after this week, I don't think the American people concentrate on the vice president at all, except for that one debate.
Yep.
But even having said that, I think they understand the process enough that during a campaign, people say things about their fellow Democrats during a primary that they don't stand behind later.
Liz and Chuck, I've been ignoring our callers, and they're calling in from around the country. Let's go to them. Barbara in Appleton, Wisconsin. Barbara, you're on the air with us here in Denver and right on around. What do you see, Barbara?
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks. I have a really big concern about why I think the two candidates are tied. I think one of the things that we have been neglecting is to point out that McCain using projection as a technique to get to Obama, you know, just picking out all his strengths, all Obama's strengths, and turn it around to something so negative. And projection, as I recall from Psychology 101, is a defense mechanism. And I don't think we should, as a country, submit ourselves to something that is not healthy, not normal. It's not a normal thing to do, especially at a presidential election.
Barbara, in Appleton, our time is short before the break, but let us pick that up. It may not be healthy, it may not be normal, but it's certainly normal when it gets to this stage of presidential campaigns recently. Liz, we've just got 20 seconds before the break, but the GOP going strong and twisting hard on the Obama reputation already.
She makes a very good point, but it's a sophisticated campaign technique that works, and it has worked for the Bush-Cheney administration, and now there are some of those folks who are helping John McCain conduct his campaign, and that's where some of that is coming from.
I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, live from Denver, Colorado. We are raising the curtain on the Democratic National Convention. It's Barack Obama's big week, and as of Saturday, it's Barack Obama and Joe Biden, the new VP pick, who, of course, will be on stage a lot this week as well. Tonight is Michelle Obama, and there are many more big nights with Hillary, with Bill Clinton, Al Gore, of course, Barack Obama himself, a special celebration of Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy tonight here in Denver. He, of course, undergoing treatment for brain cancer, but has arrived in Denver, we now see, and will reportedly be at the center tonight for the opening night of the Democrats' big convention. Here's another one of those McCain attack ads. This one came out Sunday, released a new television ad accusing Barack Obama of holding a grudge against Hillary Clinton for, quote-unquote, speaking the truth.
She won millions of votes, but isn't on his ticket. Why? For speaking the truth. On his plans.
You never hear the specifics.
On the Resco scandal.
We still don't have a lot of answers about Senator Obama.
On his attacks.
Senator Obama's campaign has become increasingly negative.
The truth hurt, and Obama didn't like it.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
And there it is, another one putting the knife in. No doubt there will be counter ads from the Obama campaign, and we will play them when they come. But you can see Obama going hard and fast. I should say McCain going hard and fast at Obama right there. Liz, what do you make of the Republican attacks so far in their effectiveness? Are they on the right train here?
Well, with Hillary, featuring Hillary and Hillary's comments, I think they are on the right track for their purposes. There's a great divide within the women's community. I have a story this week talking about what Hillary's candidacy has sort of exposed in the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young women flocking to Barack Obama, the older feminists of Hillary's generation, very, very angry, extremely angry. And these ads, that ad, his new ad today, target that demographic, that they is very, very important demographic going into the fall.
Getting right under that skin. Let's go to Somerville, South Carolina, and Fred. Hi, Fred. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Hi, Fred in South Carolina. You're on the air, my friend.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I just wanted to mention people wonder why these why negative campaigning seems to work. And one of the reasons is that every time McCain releases one of these negative ads, the news media picks it up and plays it for free. So he doesn't have to pay for the advertising, and he gets out his negative message for the world to hear, even though he's not paying for any advertising down here.
There's no question about it. Of course, it works the other way as well, and both campaigns know it, and we've seen it, and no doubt we'll see it from both campaigns. But we take your point, Fred. You know, you got to stay sort of informed, and the ads are part of that. At the same time, maybe, I don't know, maybe they could be overplayed. Roger, you've got your big piece out today looking at what brought us to this point. Liz is talking about the deeply hurt and still unsolved portion of the Hillary camp. Do you see them coming around, coming on board? It's been a long time the Democrats have been out of the White House. That surely is about as big as an incentive as any particular group could hope for, and yet there is the pain of that Hillary loss.
I think that the party will come together and will come together at the end of this week. There are some people who will never, there are some Democrats who are Hillary supporters who will never vote for Barack Obama. But when you look at the campaign and how it unfolded, the Hillary supporters really have very little to blame Barack Obama for. Now, they have a lot to blame the media for, or let me put it another way, they hate the media. And they think the media were totally unfair to Hillary Clinton, that a male-dominated commentariat bashed Hillary Clinton, that debate moderators were unfair to Hillary Clinton, and there's a lot of animosity there, but that's not really directed at Barack Obama. And I think when you look back at the campaign, it's easy to see how Barack Obama ran a much better campaign than Hillary Clinton, but it's not so easy to see how he did something unfair or sneaky or underhanded or was even especially negative toward Hillary Clinton. I mean, about as negative as he got in one debate, he said, oh, she's likable enough. He made one of his little sardonic comments. And at another debate, he helped her out of her chair. He was just trying to be polite. But when you look back at it, it's really hard to find any way that he stuck a knife in her. Now, there are what are called PUMAs on the Democratic side, which stand for Party Unity, My Posterity. Mm-hmm. Posterior. They use a different word for posterior, so it spells PUMA.
Party Unity, My
Yeah, okay. Exactly. PUMAs. Now, those people won't vote for Barack Obama, but I think their numbers are small. And the fact is, I think the fact that Hillary Clinton went to the symbolic gesture of releasing her delegates yesterday. In the Democratic Party, it's a dirty little secret. No delegates are committed to any candidate. Mm-hmm. Releasing is a totally fictitious act because they can vote for anyone they want to anyway.
Nevertheless, there's theater.
She did it because I think she was very much afraid that in the count, she's not going to get anywhere near what she won in the primaries and caucuses, because the party does want to come together. And this way she's going to say, well, of course I'm not going to get those same numbers because I released my delegates.
I've released them. Let's take a call from Mattapan, Massachusetts, and Brunier. Brunier, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. My problem is with the pundits. I think all the television talk heads and the radio, nobody remembers to tell the public that the whole 18 million voters that Hillary Clinton has right now is a myth. If she has 18 million voters, they should all send $2, and then she would raise $36 million and wipe out her debt. She only raised $1 million and some change. So the whole thing is a myth, and I think people need to stop saying that.
Well, maybe. Of course, on the convention floor, I can tell you, Brunier, I've heard it right here in Denver this week. She certainly has some stalwarts who are hanging in. Question is, how will they swing? Liz Halloran, you've been out on the hustings recently in Montana, one of the swing states that Barack Obama will be visiting this week on his way to Denver. What are you hearing?
Well, I want to go on one point that Roger made, and he's much wiser than I am, but there was a fairly troubling CNN poll that came out yesterday, I think, that showed that there are fewer Hillary supporters supporting Barack Obama right now than there were, and that may obviously change after this week, but it was a significantly higher number have decided not to support him in the last month or two, I think, since June. Now, in Montana, this is an unusual election, a presidential election year, in that the Democrats think that they can make some headway out west, which has in recent elections been very strongly Republican. He's made four trips to Montana, is on his way there again in this swing that he's doing post-convention. Guns are an issue out there. He has an F rating from the NRA, which doesn't play out there. But they have a huge staff out there. They've got lots of volunteers, and they're dumping money out there, and they're hoping that they can organize well enough to get the young voters out there. They're really organizing college students out there. If he does something in Montana, I think everyone will be surprised. But what he's done there, the governor told me what he's done, if he doesn't win, it will resonate for years to come because of all the Democrats they've registered out there.
Roger, Barack Obama in Davenport, Iowa this week, Kansas City, Missouri, Billings, Montana on his way to the convention. That not so unusual. More unusual, McCain will also be campaigning during the Democrats' convention, and Obama has said he will during the Republicans. This breaking tradition a little bit. Things have gotten kind of down and dirty in recent weeks here ever since maybe, Britney Spears and
is she here?
made it into this conversation. Do you expect that to change? I mean, Americans, it seems abundantly clear, are very worried about the state of their nation right now. Do they really want a catfight, dogfight on the way to the November election? Will the pressure be on for both parties, both men in this case, to step up and talk substance?
When you ask people, they say they hate negative campaigning, but the record does show that it tends to work. It certainly worked with the Swift Boat campaign of 4 years ago. I think it would be hard to say that the Swift Boat attacks did not alter the outcome of the election. There is a danger inherent, however, in going negative this early. There's one of the few political wisdoms that I think is actually correct that says, don't go negative until you've established your own positives. I think John McCain, who has a lot of positives, has not really established them with the American people because he's been engaging in some clever and some not so clever attack ads. And what the American people are left with knowing about John McCain is that he's a war hero, POW, former POW, is for the surge. And past that, I'm not sure there is any clear public image with the mass of voters for John McCain. Now, he has a whole convention and a whole campaign to set that right. But when your commercials are talking about your opponent day after day after day, they're really not talking about you. And I think John McCain has that problem to get over. At some point, he's going to have to go positive and say, it's not just that I'm running against a celebrity who's untested, unready, and was wrong about Iraq. This is who I am. This is why I will be a good leader. And yeah, I'm older than the average candidate for president, but that's not, and this is why that doesn't matter. And here is what I will do for you.
He'll have his chance next week,
yes.
Of course, in Minnesota this week. It's all about Obama right here. Let's get a call from Michigan, Clare, Michigan, and Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am going to support Barack Obama for president, although he was not my first choice. I was a John Edwards man, and then because of his issues for working class people, and Bill Richardson because of his vast experience. But I guess my belief is that it's more likely that Barack will pick up Hillary supporters than Hillary would have picked up as many Barack supporters had she gotten the nomination. I think his core constituency would have been less likely to turn around and support someone else if he had he not gotten the nomination.
So the way you do the math, he's still Democrats still in a better position if it had to come out with one of these. And we're hearing that right there from Michigan, Mark. Thanks very much for your call. Liz and Roger, we just got you for another minute. Liz, your expectations for this week, where you're going to be looking. We've got this big floor behind us. There are going to be a lot of speeches here. It looks very dramatic. They've got this tremendous kind of light show up on the stage, those tall arena with the delegations heading right up into the rafters. What, Delaware moved down just in the last 24 hours since Joe Biden moved up front. Idaho moved a little higher up in the stands since Joe Biden was named vice president. But key moments that you look for this week, Liz?
Well, as Roger said, it's going to be the speech, obviously, Thursday. You go into a convention, there are undecided voters who make up their minds based on what they see in a convention. It's not an enormous percentage, but in this race, it looks like it's moving out to be very close. It'll obviously be the speech, but I'm looking to talk to Hillary delegates here, the ones who are more recalcitrant, and seeing where they're going. I know one of them told me, we'll go where Hillary tells us to do. We will listen to what Hillary has to say. We'll see how that works this week.
And Roger, where does your reporter's nose point you this week? What will you be looking at with most focus?
If Barack Obama can really pull off a different kind of speech, we know he can do inspiration. We know he can do messianic. We know he can do charisma. We now have to see a presidential speech from Barack Obama. And talk in terms of where and how he's going to lead the country and emerge from here as someone you look at and think, wow, this is not just, one of the great inspirational figures of our time. You have to look at him and think, president. I can see this guy sitting behind that big desk in the Oval Office.
Roger Simon, chief political columnist for Politico, with us here in Pepsi, the Pepsi Stadium in Denver. Roger, thank you so much for being with us today.
Check
out his very big piece at Politico.com. Wonderful reporting on the convention so far. And Liz Halloran with U.S. News and World Report. We've enjoyed your reporting all through this campaign. Thank you for being here with us,
Tom.
In Denver. Looking on, as most of America will be through this week, from just a bit afar is our own news analyst, Jack Beatty. He joins us right now from Hanover, New Hampshire. Jack,
hello,
I'm sure
Tom.
You are paying close attention. Hi, Jack. Great to hear your voice there. What are you watching, Jack? What are you looking for? What are you seeing so far in the setup, the sort of image coming out of Denver?
Well, I think a specter haunts the giddy surface of this convention, the specter of Barack Obama's defeat on racial grounds. Peter Hart, the pollster, estimates that there may be as much as 2% of voters who would vote for a Democrat but won't vote for Obama because of his color. 2%, that works out to maybe 2 million voters. The state of Ohio, the whole election last time turned on 65,000 votes in the state of Ohio. They had gone to John Kerry. He would have won the election. So it's a dismal thought, but will that group of voters who will vote on racial grounds, or who say they will they have the final word on this election? And that's a very sobering thought.
Jack, there is a palpable edge of apprehension here after the very high-riding months of Barack Obama's campaign. I think, I'm feeling still here a lot of confidence among Democrats. It certainly could be done, but that certainty that it will be done a different thing right now, a sense of real importance around this week. It may be in a way we haven't felt in a convention in some time.
Yes, I mean, I think the Democrats think this should be theirs, and there's a great apprehension that it won't be. I mean, that with all the things going for them, it won't turn out for them. And I think a month ago, the feeling was entirely different. But in that last month, as the CNN poll confirms, Barack Obama has come down about 6 or 7 points, and McCain has correspondingly gained. And suddenly, I think Democrats realizing that conditions alone aren't going to decide this election. It's going to be probably a referendum on Barack Obama. And there's much to recommend him, but there are many voters who are just clearly uneasy with him for a whole strata of reasons. But that racial one, I mean, we did learn in the Pennsylvania primary that 12% of the Democratic electorate said race influenced their votes. Those were Democrats. So I think there's just a lot of sudden uneasiness with the Democrats.
And Joe Biden there with him at the old state capitol in Springfield, Illinois on Saturday, and soon to be with him on stage by the end of this week here in Denver. What do you say, Jack? We've just got half a minute.
Oh, I've always liked him. You can't help but like him. He keeps putting his foot in his mouth. But if he can keep that organ out of, if he can keep his feet on the ground and out of his mouth, I think he'll do fine. But I do think that this is just such a mischievous McCain ad. I mean, that's just a great ad where they have him saying, "Well, I don't think Obama's ready. John McCain, I'd be willing to back him." Ooh,
right.
That really is.
Well, soon enough, it may be turnabout's fair play if Mitt Romney's on the ticket with McCain.
Indeed.
There'll be plenty of that to play back. We've got Purple Mountain's majesty on the horizon here, Jack. It's really something to see. You can feel the mile-high air in Denver. You can feel the excitement in this city. And the big clouds and sunshine, too, rolling across those mountains on the horizon. Jack, we'll be thinking of you back in another set of mountains there looking out this way. And look forward to talking with you throughout the entire week. Thanks for joining us right here, Jack.
Thank you, Tom.
And listeners, this is Tom Ashbrook. All this week in Denver at the Democratic National Convention, we welcome your calls, your input, as we go toward Barack Obama's big speech on Thursday night. This is On Point. We'll talk to you all week.